Enchanted Sky Media.
This is Code 3, the podcast for firefighters. Now, here's your host, Scott Orr.
Thanks for joining me again this week. Today, we're talking with an EMS captain. Doug Naminsky is with Central Arizona Fire and Medical Authority. Now, years ago, that title didn't even exist, but it's an important role these days because EMS is such a big part of a firefighter's job. Doug is here now to tell us about it. Thanks for being on Code 3 this week.
Thanks for having me.
So what is the role of an EMS captain?
Basically, it's an administrative position, and I handle a lot of training for EMS-related topics for the guys. I also deal with electronic patient care reporting, both software and hardware. So, you know, making purchases of tablets to use in the field, setting those things up, training the guys how to use them, go to a lot of meetings with the state and the hospital and various other agencies. See what else. I'm on the Northern Arizona EMS Council, so we go to those meetings. A lot of meetings and a lot of training.
Is this primarily an administrative job, or do you get to go out in the field much?
Part of my job function, I get to, if I choose on whatever next Monday to ride along with a certain engine company, I'm allowed to do that and basically work with those guys and evaluate the EMS performance, because we do run mostly EMS calls. And so, you know, watch them operate a scene, you know, help participate in that so I can keep my skills up, because I'm still a medic. So, you know, I want to be able to help out when I can. And that's been a lot of fun, going out and doing those days with guys in the field still. Still get to do training officer stuff here at CAFMA. So, you know, whatever the topic of the quarter is, I get to participate in that. I still get to be active in the wildland team, so I get to go participate in those functions. I am also on the hazmat team, so I do a lot of training with them and get to go to those calls as well.
You do spend time in the field then?
Not as much as I'd like to, but you know, I try to get out as much as I can and do that just to keep my skills relevant and also get to see it from their perspective and how are the things working that we're, you know, introducing new things into the field, products and for EMS. And if it's not working, we need to know so we can make the situation better, easier for them to operate in the field.
Can you give me an example of a new EMS product?
We've done some training. In the last year, we had the humeral placement of an EZ-IO, which is basically a needle that you drill into a bone. And we didn't have the ability to do it in the humerus, which is on the upper arm. We were only trained to do it on the tibia, on the leg. So did some research about why that's a good spot versus the tibial placement. And it's just a more effective route to give medications. It's quick. And so when you're working a full code, using that humeral IO, it instantly delivers epinephrine to the heart. I mean, it's very, very quick. If you do the tibial placement, it can take, you know, up to 3 minutes to get all the way through circulation, and epi doesn't last that long. So the better spot is here. So we did a training. We had a cadaver lab here at CAFMA at CARTA. And so they actually brought in two cadavers and we set them up over here in the training lab, and guys got to come in, learn how to identify the landmarks, where to place the product, and they got to drill actual human beings. So that was their hands-on training. They also got to do a classroom portion for about 45 minutes, and they learned a skill from a physician, and now the guys are in the field using that placement on their codes, and it's been a really neat process, and they love it.
How long have you been doing that?
I think we had the lab last August, so basically since probably September of last year, it's been in the field.
Is it popular?
Well, it's when they're working codes, it's their method of choice versus the leg. Because of the reasons we talked about as far as medication delivery, it's just a better way to go. So And it's easy to do. Once you have the training, it's a little intimidating if you don't know what you're doing. That's why we provide the training so that they're comfortable with finding those landmarks and then doing the skill. So now that they've had that training and they're using the skill, they're becoming more proficient with it. And it's working out real well.
Now, back when you joined the fire service, did you realize there would be so much EMS work involved?
You know, I actually had a feeling that that's the way it was heading. I went to paramedic school prior to getting hired at the fire department. So I went to Lifeline and learned really how to do my job as a medic. It was a lot of learning. It was a great way for me to get my feet wet as a medic and then obviously transition over to the fire service, which is what I ultimately wanted to do anyway. Anybody out there that wants to get a job in the fire service, if you can get your medic prior to getting in, it's a great way to go. You know, it opens doors. So
because you're pre-qualified.
They don't have to send you to class. You have that skill, and you bring that to the table. And so you can go to work, as a medic when you get hired. There's some small amount of administrative stuff that you learn, how they want you to do it here. But at least you already have your cert, and you're able to go to work. And I'll tell you what, we're always looking for medics, it seems like, because when people retire, we lose medics here and there. Getting guys the training now takes upwards of 2 years, year and a half at least, depending on the program. Some are cut down pretty, like 9 months is the shortest one I've seen. But we don't send guys, we usually go to the Yavapai class here for our training, which is a year and a half program. Takes a while to do.
How do you find new firefighters are dealing with the emergency medicine component of their jobs?
I think coming into it, they're well informed that, this is kind of what we do. And we train on that as well in the fire academy. So it's not just fire stuff. We're training on EMS stuff as well. And so when they do get in the field, and they're doing the ride-alongs on Fridays, so they know that most of the day we're spent running EMS calls, and they learn how to function in that new capacity and what their role in the team is, because typically a firefighter will have specific job functions. All right, when we get into an EMS call, I want, put the blood pressure cuff on, get me a couple sets of vital signs, check a blood sugar, maybe hook up the monitor, and everybody's doing different things. So they train them on what they want to see happen, and they get really good at performing and knowing where equipment's located. Like I said, that's what we do in this community. Anywhere, really, is mainly EMS.
Doug Naminsky, thanks for joining me on Code 3 this week.
Thanks for having me. Good to talk to you.
Hey, if you enjoy this show, and I know a bunch of you do, help us out and leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. It'll help others find us. And don't forget to subscribe so you won't miss a single episode. We also have a new app for Android phones. It's free, and you can find it at our website, code3podcast.com. Or at the Google Play Store. And the iOS version is coming soon. I'll let you know when it's ready. Okay, that's it. That's all for this week. I'm Scott Orr. I hope you'll join me again this week for more Code 3. Until then, see ya.
Code 3 is a production of Enchanted Sky Media. To get in contact with us, visit code3podcast.com. And if you haven't subscribed yet, you should. Don't miss an episode. Find us at the Apple iTunes Store, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts.